Thursday, May 5th, 1986. The preacher is Dr. Herber. The sermon text is Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. The sermon theme is Christ's Commission.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The pericope just read presents the beginning of one of the highlights of the early Christian church, the conversion of a Roman centurion, Cornelius, at Caesarea. Luke emphasizes the importance of this event, usually interpreted as the conversion of the first Gentile to Christianity, by devoting two chapters to the account. Chapter 10 relates the occurrence. Chapter 11 is largely repetitive in describing Peter's later report of the event at Jerusalem. Emphasis by repetition is the same device which Luke employs to highlight the conversion of St. Paul by relating the event in chapter 9, and then by Paul's rehearsal of his conversion twice in two later chapters, chapters 22 and 26. The conversion of the first Gentile serves as a climax in the theological theme of Acts. The growth of the church from its beginnings at Jerusalem among Jews to a cosmopolitan movement reaching Rome, the capital of the empire. Growth and theology are two areas which must be intertwined in the Christian church. Growth apart from sound theology is an illusion. Proper growth develops from sound biblical theology. Jesus' great commission to his followers must serve as a guide for the church in all ages, particularly on the morning following call day. Today, therefore, let us consider Christ's commission as recorded in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And seeing him, they worshipped him. But some hesitated. And Jesus, advancing, spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, going out, make disciples of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe all things as many as I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days until the conclusion of the age." The key word is the imperative, matheseusate, make disciples. A disciple indicates total attachment. A disciple of Jesus is one in whom Jesus' call is decisive. Jesus takes the initiative. The disciple submits to the unconditional surrender of his whole life for his entire life. Jesus breaks through social barriers by including the fisherman and the tax collector, although the latter is really outside the contemporary worshiping community. That is, God's grace is basic in Christ's call. The Lord's call entails service, which frequently includes suffering. The promised reward, exceeding all human merit, is fellowship with God through Christ, culminating in a new and future life. The context of Christ's commission is important, furthermore, because it emphasizes the contrast between human endeavor and divine power. As the 11 arrive at the designated mountain in Galilee and worship the resurrected Savior, we read, some hesitated. In spite of the various proofs of the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth, both during his ministry through numerous miracles and after his resurrection through frequent encounters with the risen Christ, some of his closer associates still hesitate. Or, as some render the verb, some of his intimate disciples still have doubts. It is these fickle followers who are to begin carrying out the Great Commission with all of their frailties and foibles. Our Lord realizes the limitations and weaknesses of human endeavor. So he frames the Great Commission with the promise of divine power. He prefaces his instruction with the basic premise, which should have been obvious to the 11 during the previous years. There has been given to me all authority in heaven and on earth. Immediately after his instruction, Jesus again assures his disciple, and lo, I am with you all the days until the close of the age. Not only does Christ here emphasize by contrast the need for divine power to give impetus and success to human endeavor, the concluding sentence of Matthew's gospel is an artistic and pointed reminder of the citation from Isaiah at the beginning of the gospel. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The primary person of the gospel, called God with us in the initial chapter, promises to be with you and with us, his followers, as disciples are added among all nations. Now, how are peccable people then and now to carry out the commission of Christ's command to his church? Again, the means of making disciples stress divine power. The two participles, baptizontes and didaskontes, are without the definite article, thus denoting circumstantial and adverbial use. That is, the disciples are to be added to the church by baptizing in the name of the triune God and by teaching all things which Jesus commanded. The means of making disciples, in brief, are by sacrament and by word, the only means by which the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of humans. People are saved by God's grace through faith, propter Christum. Jesus has accomplished everything for us. The Holy Spirit works faith in us. The power of persuasion and the success of evangelistic endeavors come from above to overcome the hesitation and doubts of natural man. The conversion of sinners is God's work entirely. Our faith and our faithful stewardship in carrying out Christ's commission are both gifts of God. It is also pertinent to note the use of didaskontes, teaching, rather than kerusontes, proclaiming, in the Great Commission. To carry out Christ's command through proclamation in public preaching is not enough. Constant and consistent toil of teaching is imperative. The verb didasko has a wide connotation in Greek literature, denoting the imparting not only of knowledge, opinions, and facts, but also of artistic and technical skills, all of which are to be acquired systematically and thoroughly as a result of the repeated activity of both teacher and pupil. Herodotus, for example, employs didasko to describe the work of a chorus master, one who constantly trains the chorus. In the New Testament, didasko occurs basically in two senses. In the Gospels and Acts, primarily to address people in teaching them those things which God requires of the whole person. In the pastoral epistles in 2 Thessalonians, it's used mainly to hand down a form of doctrine to be mastered and preserved intact. That the toil of teaching is imperative in following Christ's commission is clear furthermore from the phrase, teaching them to observe all things, as many as I have commanded you. What did Jesus teach during his earthly ministry? The nature of God, God's will for humans, God's activity in history, his plan of salvation, his kingdom, his judgment for eternity. We today, as we prepare to serve our Lord, are to bear in mind the pertinent points of Christ's commission. The word and sacraments are the only means of building the church. Discipleship implies total commitment to the cause of Christ. Constant and consistent toil is required. The message must be all-inclusive of what our Lord teaches. Final evaluation will be based on the content of evangelistic endeavors, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, rather than wood, hay, straw. Finally, the success of our human endeavor is measured by inner spiritual growth and is the result of divine power, the divine power of our Emmanuel, our God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.